Lashana Tova Tiki Tebu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministry Program. This is Dan with my wonderful partner in life and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Thank you, my dear. And yes, the Jewish custom for this time of year is Lashana Tova Tiki Tebu, which means may you be inscribed for a good year.
For a good year or to go up?
Well, for Christians, it's definitely to go up, which is our main topic tonight as we begin teaching on the fall feasts over the next few weeks. But first, honey, let's ask for God's blessing.
Lord God and maker of all things, as we memorialize your beautiful creation, let us be continually mindful of your amazing awesomeness. Your bride is very aware of the dire days we are living in. Therefore, let us encourage one another as we pray, the day of the last trump is about to sound. We continue to pledge to you our loyalty, our love, and to portray Holy Spirit stamina to stand against all odds that get in our way of preaching the gospel. We pray for particularly the unsaved, who were especially affected by Hurricane Laura, that through it all, they will seek your face and embrace your salvation. We pray for our country, the innocent in our many violent cities, President Trump and all our leaders, that your Holy Spirit will guide them to fulfill your will. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, let's start with some good news. What do you say?
Okay, well, the UAE has canceled their boycott on Israel's goods and Israel's airlines, El Al, for the very first time. While displaying the Israeli flag emblem on their plane, flew over Saudi Arabia, and that's never been allowed before, and then landed in UAE's Abu Dhabi in about 3 hours instead of what would have been seven.
You know, that's really historic.
It really is. And they plan on signing the Abraham Accord this month, still hoping more nations will join in, including Palestinians. But as we said last week, the Palestinians do not have to be a major player in the fulfillment of Daniel 9:27. We are actually looking more to the Temple Mount giveaway and whether Israel relinquishes its sovereignty over this most treasured piece of land, and then to build a temple, they say, for all faiths, and to make it international through the UN.
And then, of course, the Pope will be the overseer for all faiths.
Yes.
We really are very close to our departure.
You think?
Mm-hmm.
And we have some other good news, more fulfilling prophecy, from the Word of God in Jeremiah 23:7-8.
Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that they shall no longer say, as the Lord lives, who brought up the children of Israel from the land of Egypt.
As they do every Passover season. But rather,
as the Lord lives, who brought up and led the descendants of the house of Israel from the north country and from all the countries where I have had driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land.
Okay. Well, you know how God can turn all things into good.
I do indeed.
Well, according to Bridges for Peace, which Shofar Ministries, as you know, has been donating for many years, recently said that three times more Jews have made Aliyah in 2020 than all of last year.
Why more now?
Well, because the Jews are realizing they should go home before a second wave of COVID prevents any future Aliyah.
We are watching God turn this plandemic into good.
For his ways are much higher than ours.
Isaiah 55.
Mm-hmm.
Any other good news?
Well, I thought the Republican National Convention was really good last week, but sadly, lawlessness still abounds in many Democratic cities.
Except in Kenosha.
Right, because finally the Democratic Governor Evers, under much pressure, agreed for President Trump to help. So he did, and violence ceased by the next day. So President Trump visited the city actually today, even though Governor Evers or Evers, not sure how you say that, said he didn't think that was a good idea. However, we are watching many other democratic cities allowing terrible lawlessness, well, to abound.
And by the way, it is global, as in Spain, Germany, Switzerland, and the UK.
That's what I hear. Again, scripture being fulfilled right before our eyes. And as we say, things aren't falling apart, but rather falling into place. I think of the scripture in Revelation 10, where John eats the scroll, which is bitter, but also sweet. We are seeing the foreshadows of even that right now.
Amen to that. Okay, and one more piece of good news.
I think so. Mayor Miller of Ashland, Ohio, which is, by the way, our home state, along with their state representative and other officials at a Christian assembly, partook in an act of corporate prayer and repentance during the season of Teshuvah and committed their whole city to Jesus Christ.
And that's a good thing as we watch the division increasing between good and evil.
Right. Very little room for staying in the middle.
Well, you know, people will have to choose a side.
You know, one reason, I think, besides fulfilling scripture, you know, why God is allowing all this mayhem, is so people will wake up and see direct evil right in front of their faces.
So, please, church, be ready to give the gospel.
And we have other good news to share that we will intertwine into tonight's study, right after you inform our newer listeners how they can contact us.
We'll do. All right. You can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you on our mailing list for our newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right, then, let us begin by saying that anyone who knows anything at all about our Lord's 7 appointments that he made for all mankind, as many as of you do, I'm sure, but we all get pretty excited every fall season.
Yeah, and for a good reason.
When most of us, as new believers, you know, we were taught that Jesus could call us up to meet him in the air at any time. And we're not totally against that theory, by the way, because we really would welcome it at any time.
Yeah, for sure.
However, in this last generation, ordained by God's direction and on purpose, our spiritual knowledge has intentionally increased, affecting particularly the Church of Philadelphia, at least to the more noble, as Acts points out, because they longed passionately for knowledge. Therefore, they were more open to receiving this knowledge, and then, as a Berean, searched it out to confirm whether it be so, Acts 17:11.
Also eloquently expressed in Proverbs 25:2.
And you know, it's my generation that saw the fig tree blossom in 1948 when the Holy Spirit further opened his bride's eyes to our lost Hebraic roots, which for me has connected so many dots. It's actually been breathtaking.
Yeah, like the pieces fitting perfectly in an end-time puzzle.
And just to understand the deeper meaning of the feast, all outlined in Leviticus 23, reveals a plethora of insights.
And along with the wedding customs, you have a pretty good handle of how it will be.
Right. You do not have to be a Bible expert, by the way, to get this. Even children, when properly taught, can understand it. You know, when I'm asked what makes me pine in these last days, besides the many still lost souls, is that the majority of the church chooses to remain ignorant of his appointments, his Jewish customs and phrases commonly used in Jesus' day, and then used throughout the New Testament. That's why we remain on the air, to reach more Christians. And because of the Internet, which is only in this generation, We can be heard all across the globe.
And much thanks to those of you who faithfully give so we can continue to do so.
That's right. Okay, now this is important to put in your notes. The Hebrew word for feast is moed, which actually means appointments. Four appointments have been literally kept by Jesus, and three are left. Honey, please read the intro paragraph of Leviticus 23.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations.
Which means rehearsals.
These are my feasts.
Okay. In other words, tell them the appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim, are holy rehearsals, and they are my appointments. Whose appointments?
The Lord's.
Mm-hmm. So, not just for the Hebrews, although they were the first to adhere to them, but anyone who loves God and chooses to be grafted in. And actually, you can't deny that everyone is affected by these unusual events of the fulfillment of his first four appointments.
And he fulfilled the Sabbath with his first coming as well.
Right, for he is our Sabbath rest because he lives in all believers, and Hebrews 4 really addresses that. So his seven appointments are both literally historic as well to be literally kept by Jesus Christ.
Of which four in the spring was fulfilled when Jesus came here the first time.
Yes, his first appointment at Passover, Nisan 14 on God's Hebrew calendar, when his own blood was applied upon the wooden cross, fulfilling the historical account of when the Hebrews applied the blood of the lamb on the wood around their door to escape the angel of death.
Also on Nisan 14.
Mm-hmm. Now, anyone who accepts his sacrifice will also escape the second death, Revelation 21:8.
For we will live forever with him.
And those who are still alive will escape the coming wrath of God because Jesus took that curse and left it on the cross.
Yeah. Number two is the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Yes, when Jesus took our leaven, our sins, and buried them in the tomb on the same anniversary date as when the Hebrews left Egypt after eating the unleavened bread after sundown. So now it was the 15th of Nisan.
Well, you know, in Scripture, leaven always represents sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it does. And
number three is when Jesus rose from the dead.
Yes, on the Feast of First Fruits, as he is the first fruits of the resurrection.
1 Corinthians 15:20.
And that was on Nisan 17, the same historical date when they escaped from their enemy through the Red Sea. They were victorious, and because of Yeshua, we also can have victory over our enemy.
Then 50 days after the Red Sea miracle, they reached Mount Sinai
to receive their law with the written Ten Commandments.
Historically, that was the first Pentecost.
Right. It was on Sivan 7, a Sunday. Later, Jesus then fulfills this appointment of Pentecost also on a Sunday, as we read in Acts chapter 2, by sending his Holy Spirit to Jerusalem to empower them, and now us, bestowing gifts, and teaches his bride a deeper understanding about the Torah and the whole Word of God. So the first four spring feast appointments outlined in Leviticus 23 and other places were fulfilled. Now just three fall feasts left.
To be fulfilled at the close of the church age.
Yes, and it all begins with the sound of the last trump, an idiomatic phrase for the Feast of Trumpets.
Its Hebrew name is Rosh Hashanah.
Yes. Rosh meaning head and Shana meaning year. It is the anniversary of the creation and specifically man's creation on the sixth day of that week. Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, Tishri 1 and 2, and it's always at the time of the fall harvest.
On the new moon.
Yes, true, which conveys a new beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when the resurrection slash rapture occurs, it will definitely mean a new beginning for all the righteous. and a new, but not so good, time for those left behind. And this year is celebrated on September 18th, Friday, beginning at sundown.
Which also begins the Sabbath.
Till Sunday, September 20th, ending as well at sundown.
So we don't really know which day or hour.
That's right. Matthew 24, and a common phrase used for Rosh Hashanah in those days. And besides the scripture used in 1 Thessalonians 4, when Paul refers to the trumpet of God, well, Paul details it even further in 1 Corinthians 15:51 by adding, it's the last trump. Saints of God, that is a huge clue from our Hebraic root studies of the first century. Mm-hmm. Paul even starts off by stating it had been a mystery, thereby unknown to the church before he revealed this very big gold nugget.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
Now that should really excite you, for the rapture is the blessed hope that will sustain you in life's many afflictions that he said would happen. You know, he never promised us a pain-free life. Rather, that the righteous would have them, as in Psalm 34:19.
Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us through them all.
Amen. And as well, Jesus will reward us accordingly at the Bema judgment as to our good deeds to further his kingdom. And also by the seeds we planted, and also how we handled life's stressful situations. In other words, can we still be that beacon while going through, on occasion, some horrendous difficulties? So the last three appointments are still to be fulfilled, which occur in the fall harvest season, beginning with Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, Leviticus 23. Could you read verse 23?
Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation.
And we'll address the last two fall feasts in more detail in a few weeks, but 10 days after Feast of Trumpets is Yom Kippur, and 5 days after that is Tabernacles.
All in their month of Tishrei.
That's right. So you can surely understand why we get jubilant this time of year. And if he doesn't come this year, well, we have another year then to witness to more lost souls.
How did Paul put it in Philippians?
Yeah. Well, he spoke of being hard-pressed because he'd rather go be with the Lord. But if needed, if he was needed here, he would remain.
We should also again call attention to James 5:7.
Right, because James tells us to be patient for the coming of the Lord, like the farmer who waits for the precious fruit of the earth as it receives the early and the latter rains.
And there are two major rains in Israel.
Yes, one in the spring and another in the fall. Also prophesied in Joel 2:23. So that's still another clue, because Jesus is compared to the two rains who gave his ultimate sacrifice for our sins during Passover season, which is when the spring rains occur. And therefore, another indication he will return when the fall rains occur to fulfill his last three appointments. As we said, the next one is the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah. And again, this year, September 18th through the 20th. And that's a double Sabbath, and we're going to talk about that next time. But still, we have another in the parables of Matthew 13. Remember, Jesus states that the tares, meaning all those weeds, will remain with the wheat, which represents us, until the great harvest. Again, that's in the fall season. So we will leave in the fall at the last trump, and he then returns with us also in the fall on Yom Kippur, at the great trump of Matthew 24:31. and Revelation 19, when Jesus removes all the wicked seed. Anyhow, we are all hoping to hear the sound of that last trump or shofar sound this year. But it all depends on giving away God's land to the enemy who worship a false god as an Allah and continue to deny that Christ really is the true God and Lord. Besides the land giveaway, we are also looking for a spiritual covenant that involves the Pope and the Jewish Talmudic Sanhedrin and other faiths that Pope Francis has been working on, which we have talked about before and will again. In fact, the Sanhedrin last year hosted a faith-based conference of 70 nations to be intertwined together in unity under the common belief in one God using the Talmudic teachings of, they say, Noah. Yes, you heard it right. Noah, not Moses. And that's, again, a topic for another night. But anyhow, whatever covenant they all ascribe to, no doubt will include Israel giving up sovereignty over the Temple Mount. But with the promise, they can immediately build their temple on there as well. This will please Satan, who wants to and will sit as the abomination in the holy place as God. So, although it will become international, the Pope will control it, where the one world religion can all worship the same God without Jesus, for that is the main rule of the coming Noahide laws. Even Pope Francis said last year that we should all obey the UN, along with his many other heresies. Before we close, I must tell you about how the Sanhedrin, although, besides us, because of Rosh Hashanah falling on the Sabbath this year, are actually trying to get permission from Netanyahu to blow shofar trumpet blasts on the Temple Mount, as was done in the first century. And by the way, not since the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. Tradition says if Rosh Hashanah falls on a Sabbath, you may not even blow a shofar unless it's on the Temple Mount. What's interesting is Paul said at the last trump, the righteous would all be changed. I must wonder how literal we should really take his words. We have so much more to share, so tune in next week on this fascinating topic and be sure to tell someone. There is a supreme God who sent his only son, so anyone can have eternal life with him. There is still time. So right now, give your heart and life to the Lord. Don't wait. Admit you are a sinner and invite him in. If you really mean it, then you are sealed for his kingdom. And by the way, if you think you must wait till you can stop being a sinner, that's stinking thinking, because I'm still a sinner and now I'm saved by grace. So get saved and then let God do the changing, because in and of ourselves, we are nothing and will always fail. Then start reading his word and he will supernaturally grow in you and change you from the inside out. It truly is a miracle, and that miracle can be your miracle. All you have to do is do it. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, and that, of course, is taken from Numbers 6, 22 through 27. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So till next week, Sha'alu Shalom Yerushalayim, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, you're going to prosper in all ways, different ways, ways you won't even understand, some you won't even notice. But that's taken out of Psalm 122, verse 6. So again, talk to someone about the Lord. Keep our president in your prayers and pray for our loved ones that still need Jesus Christ. Shalom. Bless you all.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.